If you want to really know who you are, you have to get close to God, because that's reality. Standing away from God, you can have a conception of yourself, a measurement that is totally skewed because it's your idea. Listen to me when I tell you that darkness is your opinion of yourself. Light is God's opinion of you. God is light, and in Him there is no darkness at all. And if we say that we have fellowship with Him, and I've met Christians like this, and they walk in darkness, we lie, John says, and we do not do the truth.
Today on the Song Time broadcast, we'll continue our study with Dr. Erwin Lutzer as we're looking at the first letter of the Apostle John to discover our own misconceptions that we often bring in thinking about God unless we start with His Word. Stay tuned for that message, but first, we're joined once again by Todd Nettleton from Voice of the Martyrs as we get an update on what's happening around the world. The many voices are coming together for that one message. I'm your host, Adam Miller. You're listening to Songtime Radio. It's always a privilege to have as our guest on the broadcast, Todd Nettleton from Voice of the Martyrs, because he keeps us informed on how to better pray for our brothers and sisters in Christ around the world who are suffering in chains. And I gotta tell you, this is something that we need to take seriously. We need to think of them as our family, our brothers and sisters who are suffering for the sake of the kingdom of God. We are facing many challenges in our own culture today, and we can learn a lot from them. They can also benefit from our time and prayer, our thoughts, and our support. So find out more information about Voice of the Martyrs. Give us a call, 508-362-7070, or head over to our website at songtime.com. But Todd, honestly, we could talk about just about any country in the Far East, but it seems that China is a major player in our own economy in many ways. We're so tied to them nationally. So tell us a little bit about what's taking place with persecution in China.
Well, there's some good news and some bad news. So there is a pastor in China that was actually just released from prison. His name is Pastor John Cao. His seven-year prison sentence was ended. He had served 7 years. They released him from prison. So we're hearing more about what happened to him during that 7 years. Some interesting stories about how much of a dangerous criminal this pastor was considered to be inside the Chinese prison. They actually assigned three fellow prisoners to be with him every waking moment to make sure that no other prisoners could talk to him or that he couldn't talk to anyone else. And he said literally, if another prisoner would say good morning to him, his three minders would get in trouble. How could you let that prisoner talk to him? You're not supposed to allow any conversation. He said good morning. And it seems clear that they were very concerned that he would minister inside the prison, that he would talk to people about Jesus. And so they assigned these three minders. During the nighttime, he had somebody who stood guard over him while he slept. And he wrote in his writings, he was like, I don't know what they thought I was going to do while I was sleeping. And he said, I don't know if they thought I was going to pray, but even if they did, you know, I could pray while laying down. I could pray with my eyes closed laying down, so they would never have to know that I was praying. So again, just such an interesting thing that they would consider him so dangerous as a prisoner that they didn't want him to even speak to anyone else or anyone else to speak to him. He also said that his mom wrote him a number of letters during his time in prison. Some of them got through, some of them didn't. And she kind of learned how much scripture she could write in that letter and have it still get through, because they obviously read all of his mail coming into the prison. He said if she put, you know, two or three lines of a Bible verse, that typically would get through. If it was more than that, it wouldn't get through. They would confiscate that and not allow it to come through. So she learned over the course of those 7 years to be able to smuggle in a few lines of scripture with each of her letters to her son. So the good news is he is out of prison now. His prison time is up. He's released. The bad news is he is still stuck in China. His wife is an American. He is trying to get back home to America to be with her, to be with their children. Right now, the Chinese government has not given him his ID documents. He can't get on a plane. He can't get on a train. He can't even make a doctor's appointment without that ID document. They are saying that they're going to, quote unquote, re-educate him for 5 more years even now after he's been released from prison, it's hard to imagine that lasting for 5 years. So that's something certainly for our prayer list, for the prayer list of our listeners, is pray that he'll get that document and be able to travel, because obviously he would like to come back. He'd like to see his wife after 7 years in prison.
It's interesting. In the United States, if you go to jail for an actual criminal offense for 7 years, you're released after 4 years, right?
Right.
This is such a grueling defense that they did it all the whole 7 years, and now tacking on another 5 years of probation on top of that. I don't think.
And his original crime was helping underprivileged tribal people along the border with Myanmar. And what they charged him with was illegally crossing that border. Mm. Now, so he would go back and forth across that border. Many times he had done this. There are hundreds of people who cross that border every single day without a problem. But that was their excuse. That was their chance to grab him. And so they charged him with illegally crossing that border, put him in jail for 7 years. And then, like you say, now they're saying, hey, 5 more years before you can actually travel, before you can actually do anything. All because of you illegally crossed the border the same way that, you know, hundreds of people are doing even right now today.
Yeah, I can only imagine how crossing the border would cause so much restriction in prison because, God forbid he crosses the border and gets out of prison. I mean,
right.
The irony there is clearly this is a threat to their thinking, and they're afraid of the message of the gospel spreading throughout the prison. And maybe even sort of a Philippian jailer experience. We got to watch the guy while he sleeps in case an angel shows up. But
amen.
is this typical state of China and how they treat Christians? Or are these sort of isolated events? Where is the state and the sort of the nation moving towards how they persecute Christians?
Well, there is more and more restriction. There is more and more persecution. And one of the things they have done since the beginning of 2023, there has really kind of been a change in strategy in what the persecution looks like. Since the beginning of 2023, no arrested church leaders have been charged with religious crimes. So before that, we might see them charged with an illegal religious gathering or using a religious organization to undermine state security. Those would be some of the charges we would see before. Since the beginning of 2023, every church leader that's been arrested has been charged with financial crimes. They're charged with fraud. They're charged with money laundering. Some of the things, because a church, an unregistered church, cannot legally exist, there's a challenge to how do you handle the church finances. And it's interesting because several years ago, I was in China, and a house church pastor I was interviewing brought up this problem. Like, hey, you can't go down to the bank and start a checking account for your church that doesn't legally exist, because how would you even do that? And so he said at that time, he said in their church, they divided up the tithes and offerings among the deacons, and they would put it in, you know, in their home or in their personal account. Well, obviously that's a risk for them, because the government can come in and say, hey, where'd that money come from? What is that? What are you doing with that? But it's also a risk for the church, obviously. And so what they have charged people with, like I said, in the last year plus, is fraud, money laundering. You're taking people's money because you're telling them you have a church, but you don't have a church. You can't legally have a church. So you're committing fraud by collecting these tithes and offerings. So that's, you know, part of it is the tactic of charging them with financial crime. But then the other side of that is, if you or I call the Chinese embassy and say, hey, why did you arrest that pastor? Why are you persecuting Christians? They will say, oh, no, we're not persecuting Christians. We're cracking down on financial crimes. We're cracking down on fraud. This has nothing to do with their religion. This is purely a financial charge. They were misusing money. They were committing fraud. So it's a way to hide the persecution that's going on, while at the same time being able to crack down on pastors and churches who don't have legal registration. They don't have legal existence. And so you really can look at the money, go after the money, because they don't have that ability to function as a legal entity.
Mm. Now, does the change of policy because of how they want to present themselves on the world stage? Is China trying to downplay their sort of a restrictive government?
I think that is part of it, definitely. I think they want to hide the religious persecution. They want to hide the persecution of religious minorities. That is true, certainly, with Muslim minorities in Western China. They don't want the world to know what's going on there. I think it's the same as true for Christians all across China, is they don't want the world to understand how difficult it is to be a follower of Christ in China right now.
Todd Nettleton has been our guest today. He is with Voice of the Martyrs, a good friend of our ministry here at Songtime, and something that we partner with to help you stay informed about how to better pray for our brothers and sisters in Christ around the world who are suffering in chains. If you'd like to find out more about China and what's taking place with our persecuted brothers and sisters there, you can head over to our website at songtime.com, or you can simply give us a call. It's 508-362-7070. That's 508-362-7070. Well, today we're looking at 1 John, and this message from Dr. Erwin Lutzer, we're talking about the introduction as John is explaining to the first century Christians the importance of trusting in the eyewitness testimony of the apostles and those who spent time with Jesus, not only searching the scriptures, but understanding how it all works out as Jesus taught them to go and to proclaim the gospel and make disciples. Here, John writes encouraging them to weigh the data, to weigh the information, to consider the facts of the story, and not to be skewed by manipulation and those with false intentions. Here is Dr. Erwin Lutzer with a closer look at the introduction to 1 John.
Well, first of all, I want us to look at the fellowship that they had with the Father and the Son, right out of the text there in verse 3. Our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. Now, left to ourselves in our natural state, we have nothing in common with God. God is holy and we are sinful. Even when we don't think we are sinful, we are. And therefore, there is nothing in common. But John says the Word of Life came and Jesus came and took upon Himself the nature of man, or at least the body of man, and the nature of man, though without sin. And as a result now, His forgiveness and His reconciliation means that we can have contact with God. God's holiness has been appeased. And as a result, God says, now you can draw near to Me and you and I can have fellowship together. As a matter of fact, when the Bible says that we are partakers of the divine nature, that word partakers in Greek is really at root koinonia. We have within us the very life of God implanted. It's not something we grew up with. It's not something that happened just because we went to Sunday school. It's not something that came about as a result of the fact that we are good people. It was implanted by God when we were born again. We share the very life of God. Notice John says we're declaring to you this eternal life which appeared and was revealed to us. So we share the life of God. We also share the light of God. Notice in verse 5, this is the message we have heard from Him and declare to you, that God is light, in Him there is no darkness at all. If we claim to have fellowship with Him yet walk in the darkness, we lie and we do not live by the truth. But if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus, His Son, purifies us. It's the word from which we get catharsis. It cleanses us from all sin. God is life, and we share it, and God is light, and we're to walk in it. What about light? Light reveals reality. I can't tell you the number of times, and this is somewhat embarrassing to say, the number of times that I've awakened in the morning and decided to, say, wear a black suit. And of course, as you know, with a black suit should go black socks. So I've looked in the drawer and, boy, they sure look black. And I put them on and walk in the sunlight, and I chose blue socks. Today I'm wearing a gray suit, and I want you to know I checked my socks out good and proper. They are black. The simple fact is that you and I, until we come into the light, we don't know reality. Reality shows the flaws. Reality shows how things are. Light reveals. John Whittier wrote, "Our thoughts lie open to thy sight and naked to thy glance. Our secret sins are in the light of thy pure countenance." Wow. And as a result of God coming to us, we recognize that it is He then who brings reality. We finally understand who we are. We understand both our sinfulness, but we also understand His grace. Light has to reveal both. Back in November the 11th, 1951, electricity came to the farm on which I was raised. You say, "Oh, how in the world do you remember that?" Well, it's just one of those little things I can pull out of my mind because it was a big deal. You say, "Oh, how could you remember back to 1951? Well, the answer is I was very, very, very young, but I do remember it. Along with electricity came a yard light. That was something new. We as kids just kept flashing that thing on and off, couldn't believe it. It's all right. I came from a town where if you plugged in an electric razor, the street lights used to dim. But one of the things we as kids learned about the yard light is this, that when you get away from it, you cast a very long shadow. And as you get closer, the shadow gets shorter and shorter and shorter until you're standing right under it. There's almost no shadow that you can see. You are standing in the light. Now listen to me, my friend. If you want to know your length, if you want to really know who you are, you have to get close to God, because that's reality. Standing away from God, you can have a conception of yourself, a measurement that is totally skewed, because that's your idea. Listen to me when I tell you that darkness is your opinion of yourself. Light is God's opinion of you. God is light, and in Him there is no darkness at all. And if we say that we have fellowship with Him, and I've met Christians like this, and they walk in darkness, we lie, John says, and we do not do the truth. Let me ask you another question. When I'm in fellowship with God, does that mean that it's a one-sided thing where I'm in fellowship with God? And God's not having fellowship with me? No. It's two-sided. God is having fellowship with me. In fact, even when He says, when we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. If you remember what an antecedent is, well, that's going back a long time. The antecedent in the verse is actually God. We have fellowship one with another. God has fellowship with me, and I have fellowship with God. And as a result of that, we have fellowship together. Sometimes people say, you know, I don't read my Bible. I don't have devotions because I don't get anything out of them. I want you to know that that's not really the question. The question is, what does God get out of them? He desires our fellowship. And if we walk in the light, we have the opportunity of being in fellowship with Him. What hinders fellowship? Sin. What brings about joy? Fellowship with Him. Notice I have to comment on it, verse 4. We write this to make our joy complete. And we say to ourselves, no, it's in darkness that I find joy. I will not give this up. I will not do what I know God wants. No, that's an incomplete joy that is always twinged with that cloud. There is such a thing as joy, inexpressible and full of glory, walking in the light. What is the power of the early church? Why did they turn their world upside down? They knew the power of fellowship with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ.
One of the things that is important to remember when working our way through this series in 1 John is that the Apostle John is writing to a church that is starting to be taught and swayed by a bunch of false teachers. These false teachers are sort of out of a camp that scholars have classified as sort of proto-Gnosticism, as like early Gnosticism. And that is a very complex and quite honestly, someday we'll probably have an interview on the subject of Gnosticism, have an expert come on the broadcast and explain it. But quite honestly, this is an issue where people were denying that Jesus could become, that God could become human flesh, or that he could die for our sins as an atoning sacrifice. It is a horrible heresy, and one, quite honestly, that we still see taking place in our culture today. But this is the reason why it is so important. It's not that the details of it that are important. It's that the motivation behind it. As John is writing this letter to the church, he's warning about those who are teaching in the darkness. And Jesus referenced this as he spoke to Nicodemus. Remember when he talks about why people remain in the darkness instead of coming into the light as the light is revealed to them. And the reason is because they hate the light, because they love the darkness, because their deeds are evil. And this is really the core of false doctrine. It is because people want to continue to live in rebellion against God. They want to do the things that they want to do because they feel good about their lives. And they don't want God to put a structure of right and wrong over them. Does that sound like our culture today? And that is exactly what the church was dealing with in the first century, as John is writing to them, reminding them that they need to look at the light and weigh things not what sounds good to their ears, but what is true and what is purposely found in the teaching and the ministry of Jesus. He is an eyewitness, and he wants to reassure them, I was there. I heard all of these things. Don't listen to all of these false teachers who weren't there. They weren't a part of the teaching of Jesus. They don't know what Jesus is telling them, and they are denying it and twisting it to make it sound like they know more than what I know or what Jesus himself knows. So this warning comes to us as well. We need to examine the truth. It's why our ministry always lifts up the Word of God and says, you can read it for yourself. You can examine the Scriptures for yourself. And in so doing, you can be encouraged by the work and the ministry of Jesus. I hope that we've been able to encourage you, and if we have, I hope that we'll be able to do so in the foreseeable future. We want to continue to be a blessing in your life, but the only way that that is possible is through your love, your prayers, and your support. Consider writing to us. Send in your support to Songtime Radio, P.O. Box 100, Barnstable, Massachusetts, 02630, or to give us a call. It's 508-362-7070. You can also head over to our website at songtime.com, or you can look us up on social media. Don't forget to tune in again tomorrow as we tackle this darkness of the world and the light of the gospel given to us by a first eyewitness.
We live these separated lives and we say, only God sees who I really am, and I'm not willing to walk in the light, because if I really walk in the light, I'm going to have to be honest, I'm going to have some transparency, and I'm going to be able to reveal to other people who I really am.
On behalf of everyone here at Songtime, we want to thank you for listening. From Cape Cod, I'm Adam Miller with our theme verse for this series, 1 John 3:23 and 24. And this is his commandment, that we believe in the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another, just as he has commanded us. Whoever keeps his commandments abides in God, and God in him. And by this we know that he abides in us, by the Spirit whom he has given us.